Back in the Betsy M. Ross SportsLink studios with more Cardinal Kickoff. I'm Rowan Elbert. That's Sam Klug. Ball State falling to UConn 31-25. But regardless of that, it's such a great week to talk about Ball State football.
It's always a great week to talk about Ball State football. And like you said, a great showing from the Cardinals. They do come up short, but they showed a lot of fight throughout the whole game, being down 10-0 early and then eventually 31-17, but fighting back to only a six-point loss.
So yeah, Ball State now 1-3 in the non-conference schedule, but still a lot of positive takeaways from that last matchup against UConn, especially the fact that the Cardinals had more total yards than the Huskies, 404 compared to 398. But in your eyes, what was the biggest takeaway for Ball State?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway from this weekend was Kyle Kelly throwing for 209 yards through the air, completed 17 of his 24 passing attempts. Finally, as he crosses that 200 threshold, throws for a touchdown as well. One of those was picked off, but I want to highlight his completion percentage because coming into today, he didn't have a game above 62.5%, and this game he was 71%. So definitely seeing some improvement from a quarterback who we've called dual threat, but he's really starting to light up the stat book through the air a bit more, and he's starting to get his wide receivers involved.
And speaking of getting your receivers involved, how about Keon Magwood throwing a touchdown to Kyle Kelly? You talk about dual threat, throwing the ball. Also running. How about receiving as well? Kyle Kelly was really doing it all.
Yeah, triple threat quarterback, you could almost say. And also, Kyle's been here for 4 to 5 years. So is Keon. Keon is actually the only player remaining from that 2020 MAC championship team. So two of the veterans getting it done and kind of a little trickery that, who knows, maybe we could see a little bit more from Mike Yuremovich and his staff as this season progresses.
And you're right, you gotta love the trick plays, Sam. But how about the nitty-gritty stuff? I want to get into that. The Ball State defense. Who are some players on the defensive side who stood out to you?
Yes, someone who is really doing the dirty work in the trenches was actually a former Husky. Alfred Shea led the team in tackles with 8, and it was, like I said, also against his former team. Ashton Whitner also had the only team's tackle for loss, which may have been kind of a disadvantage. The Cardinals didn't really have that many chances in the backfield getting tackles for losses. Also, Derek Fields had a great day, 6 solo tackles, getting it done by himself without the help of his other teammates, I should say. But yeah, defense did not have the best day, but it's cool to see someone who comes back into his old stomping grounds like Hartford, Connecticut, where he spent a year there and performed super well.
Yeah, and the other thing I find interesting is Ball State did not have a single sack in the game, which is the first time that's happened all season. The fact that it got to this point where the final game of non-con is the first game you don't have a sack, pretty impressive.
Indeed, and also leading into today, Ball State was number 4 in the nation with team sacks, probably on pace to beat a program record for sacks in a season. And the defense was really just coming alive and kind of feasting on offenses, even when they played Power 5 opponents like Auburn or Purdue. They still got to the quarterback a lot and pressured a lot of offensive lines. And you think, oh, UConn, maybe they're not as good. They're an independent, don't belong to a conference. And you'd think you maybe see more of that, especially in a non-conference game, but you have to give credit to the UConn offensive line.
Yeah, and the guy that we caught up with earlier was someone who's watched a lot of Ball State football in his time here. AJ Switek joined us in the studio. We're back in the Betsy M. Ross SportsLink studios with more Cardinal Kickoff. I'm Rowan Elbert, that's Sam Klug, joining us, a senior in Ball State SportsLink's program, AJ Switek. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, and I'm looking forward to talking some Ball State football here with you guys.
Oh, I'm pumped as well. Let's talk about that UConn game. What were your biggest takeaways from really what was a close effort for the Cardinals?
Well, I thought the Cardinals showed really good fight. I think that myself and many at home, you felt it in the living room. When UConn took that 10-0 lead, you think, is Ball State just going to roll over, or is this Coach U team going to show fight? And that's what really the takeaway was for me. Ball State down double digits early, able to go down the field, put some points on the board. And I feel like going into it, especially on Ball State's side of things, you felt if they were going to find success, it would be in the run game. These are two teams that relied heavily on their rushing offense heading into week four. They also did it there. Ball State, 4.8 yards a carry against UConn. The Huskies were able to tackle 6.6, and Cam Edwards had a big day, 194 yards, two touchdowns. So, you know, that's a long way of saying I like what I saw from Ball State. I think these two teams have fairly similar identities. And in a clean football game with six total penalties, I like the fight Ball State put up on the road.
Yeah, it's awesome that you mentioned that they fought back even though they were down early. And even though they, when they got to the end of the game, 31-17, they stayed in it, eventually scored that late touchdown, went for two, did get it as well, but they kind of just ran out of time there in the end.
They did. And for me also, like, it's hard not to point out a performance from a guy like Alfred Shea. That's a player who spent time at the University of Connecticut. Now he's playing a key role on this Ball State defense. He led the way with eight tackles. And I felt like when Ball State's run defense was at its best, he was on the field. And that's going to be really, really important, especially when you look to the future against an Ohio Bobcats team that's predicted to win the MAC because of their rushing attempt. Like, guys like that stepping up, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, because we talked to Alfred last week, and it seemed like he had nerves of steel going into his former stomping grounds. I found it very interesting. But just all in all, defensively, this is the first game where Ball State didn't have a sack. But still, I mean, there are a lot of positives to take away from it.
There were, and I think that it comes down to the fact that against a team like Connecticut, it's often a running situation. They're not really pinning their ears back and letting the three tech get up the middle. They're not really running stunts. It was a run-heavy team, and when you go in with that mindset, the sacks, obviously none, aren't going to jump off the page at you, but I think what Ball State attempted to do there was mitigate the damage on the ground, and I think as the game started to roll forward, you saw them find success in those early down situations. It was really fourth downs, however, guys, that were the big difference maker.
Yeah, fourth down, again, those are times where it's really tough to convert, whether you are the Cardinals or the Huskies, for sure. I do want to talk about Ohio, though. I know it's a little bit of ways away because we have the bye week this week, but how do you think that'll fare for the Cardinals going against the reigning MAC champions coming off of a bye week?
I mean, a bye week's always big, right? It's an opportunity for these guys to get healthy, but you just look at it on a base level. This Ohio team, in my opinion, is the team to beat in the MAC. They picked up arguably their most significant win in program history back in week two at home against West Virginia. They've been sticking around with good teams. I even like the fight they showed against Ohio State in that in-state duel. And for them, it's really about making sure that Parker Navarro doesn't need to be the centerpiece. He's a really good quarterback. He takes care of the football. But you look at what they just did this past week, six rushing touchdowns, over 300 yards on the ground. If you're not asking much of your signal caller, it's a recipe for success, especially in the Mid-American Conference.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the games they've had to go, or some of the teams, I should say, they've had to go up against, including West Virginia, Ohio State. They've also played Rutgers. And I think that's just really prepared them, especially with kind of the scene we have in college football nowadays. Very run heavy, very down in the trenches. You got to rely on your guys up front to get the job done. And they've shown the fight that they do that a lot.
It almost feels like what they're doing right now is something Ball State would like to emulate, that kind of success. It's a proven winning formula here in the MAC, and Ohio does it with the best of them. They just scored 52 against Gardner-Webb, as I'd mentioned, but they take care of the football. Their defense doesn't play soft. They play up on the line. They play press coverage. They want to really make their influence felt from the get-go, and I think that in a lot of ways, that's the message you're hearing from Ball State's coaching staff.
And even with that matchup being a couple weeks out, we're still looking forward to it. But before we get to that, it's time for some Ball State football trivia. Sam Klug and AJ Switek are going head-to-head. Three questions, best of three. Are you guys ready?
I think I'm ready.
I guess I'm ready.
So the first question for you guys. Ball State in the 2008 season, great year for them. They ended up playing in the GMAC Bowl that season. Who was their opponent?
See, I can tell you a lot about 2008 Ball State football. I mean, they had their all-time leading rusher. They went undefeated in conference play. Overall record 12-2. I know it featured a win against the Indiana University Hoosiers. I also know that they took down Navy in that season, but I'll be honest, I'm going to defer to Sam. I can't tell you who they played in that bowl game.
I was doing some prep. I was looking, and I did see that they played in the GMAC ball. I can't quite remember who it was, but I'm going to give it my best guess. I'm going to go West Virginia.
That's actually a solid guess. But is that your final guess?
That is my final guess.
The answer is Tulsa. So we'll go to a bonus question after that. Unless one of you two gets the next two correct. Here we go. Who is the all-time receiving leader in, as far as receiving yards go in Ball State history?
That's Justin Hall.
You know it.
He leads it in receiving yards and receptions. And I think a lot of the time you think of a Ball State great receiver, it's easy to immediately go to a guy like Willie Snead, who found all that success at the next level. But Justin Hall, if you haven't put that tape on for yourself, he was a magician, especially with the ball in his hands.
And that was just before your time, right?
Yes. Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, because 2017 to 2021, yeah, what a great career as a Cardinal. Willie Snead probably would have been my first guess, too, but I do like that. I mean, again, you're right on the money with that. This Ball State legend in 1959 was drafted as a running back, ended up becoming an all-pro running back, and also appeared in the hit TV show MASH. Who is this player?
I know the answer. I'll give you a chance.
I am not as knowledgeable in my Ball State football history, so I think I'm going to pass it over to AJ.
That's Timmy Brown.
Oh, yeah, the legendary Timmy Brown. But, Sam, I got to give you one more chance.
Let's do it.
I got to give you one more chance to get this. In 2023, this Ball State Cardinal was drafted in the seventh round as a DB, and he ended up winning a Super Bowl. He's still going strong. Who is that player?
I know he played for the Chiefs.
Yes, he did.
And he's a teammate of Carson Steele. Are his initials JH?
Not quite.
Currently playing for the Giants. Special teams contributor, Nick Jones, Ball State great.
There you go.
There you go, yes.
Nick Jones. All right, so AJ, you win. So
well done.
So what's the prize going to be?
This is your show. You tell me. I mean, if I get a prize, I'd be happy. But seriously, it's been great just talking Ball State football with you guys. You're doing great work.
And we'll discuss that later once we go off the air. But thank you, AJ, for your time. And we'll be right back with more Cardinal Kickoff. Great stuff from AJ, as always. Let's talk about the Ohio Bobcats. Obviously, with the bye week this week, you now go against Ohio in a couple of weeks for your MAC opener. How about a tough cookie for your MAC opener? At the time of this recording, they're 2-2, including a win against West Virginia, which is a Power 4, Power 5 team. And then you also have a win against Gardner-Webb, where they put up 52 points, a 52-35 win for the Bobcats. These are the reigning MAC champions. What are your expectations of Ohio?
Yeah, not only are they the reigning MAC champs, they also brought back the MAC championship offensive player of the game in Parker Navarro. And their first three games of the season, they go against Power 4 opponents in Rutgers, West Virginia, and the number one team in the nation, Ohio State. And you talk about a tough cookie for your home MAC opener, and that is exactly what it is. It will be Community Day. Hopefully we see a lot of the Muncie locals out there supporting their Cardinals. But like you said, it's going to be a tough match, and it's really going to be able to set and see where these Cardinals are leading into the rest of the MAC season and how much we should expect from them.
How important do you think the bye week is, though, going into that crucial matchup against Ohio?
It's vitally important. We touched on it in last week's episode, the travel the Cardinals have done. They obviously flew down to Alabama a couple weeks ago for the Auburn game. They were in Hartford this past week, and we do know that because they had no press conference on Monday, there was some plane trouble. They couldn't take off for a while and got back pretty late or early into that Sunday morning. So they may be a little jet lagged right now and maybe just unrested. So the bye week couldn't come at a better time.
It really couldn't. And that's it for the Cardinal Kickoff this week. I'm Rowan Elbert. That's Sam Klug. It's a bye week, so take a good rest, Cardinal fans. But we're back at it next week against Ohio. We'll see you next time. The Cardinal Kickoff is a Ball State SportsLink production.